Commissioner Elizabeth Long presiding.
Please be seated. The next case for argument this morning is number 2014-955, Team Rentals versus Copley Fairlawn City School District. For the appellant, Mr. Skidmore.
Good morning, Your Honor. My name is Thomas Skidmore, and I represent the appellant in this case, Team Rentals, LLC. If it pleases honorable court, this case primarily stems on one primary issue, and it probably entails a little bit of the facts to be reviewed. This property is at 484 South Miller Road in Fairlawn, Ohio. The property is comprised basically of three separate parcels. Two parcels are basically vacant, and there's a two-story commercial office building that is on the main parcel. The parcel which is the subject of this appeal is parcel number 09-01267. It's comprised of approximately 13,300 square feet, and Team Rentals, the appellant in this case, is an owner-occupier of that building. Team Rentals occupies approximately half the space. It was purchased in 2002 for approximately $1.4 million. Since the downturn of the economy in 2007, it has had and consistently had approximately a 20% vacancy rate. Team Rentals occupies a certain amount of the square footage and has to pay an inflated rate of occupancy at $16 a square foot in order for the building to basically cash flow. The other tenants pay approximately $10 a square foot. The property has failed to have a positive cash flow every year since it's been owned since 2002, with the exception of 2011. And the owner of the property, who's testified in this case before the BOR, testified that he has minimized capital improvements because he just simply doesn't have the cash to make it cash flow. The principal agent for Team Rentals LLC is a gentleman by the name of Theodore Klimczak. He testified before the BOR that in 2011 he was forced to refinance the building. As a result of that refinance, he had to meet certain banking equitable ratios and had to come up with an additional $65,000 to meet the equity to value ratio. At the time that that was done, he was provided a bank appraisal which indicated the value of the property. The total value, I believe, was $1,125,000. As a result of having the drop in value of his property through that bank appraisal, Mr. Klimczak and Team Rentals filed with the Board of Revision a petition to have the value of the property reduced. Mr. Klimczak, one of the probably the interesting facts of this case that's probably a little different than the others is Mr. Klimczak and Team Rentals is a owner-occupier of this building, and therefore their testimony in a case like this before the Board of Revision does have probative value and can be considered into evidence. Mr. Klimczak testified before the Board of Revision as to all of these facts, and he actually had done quite a bit of research on his own to determine, because he's the leasing agent for the building, the area commercial real estate evaluations and what was available in the area. And he testified that there was an overabundance of commercial space, and he was pretty specific in his testimony regarding how much space. This particular building is across the street from another building, and he testified a building at 2620 Ridgewood Road in Fairlawn, which had, I believe, approximately 35,000 square feet that was empty, was being advertised at $9.75 per square foot, which is even well below what he was getting from the tenants that he could get to come into his space. He did testify at the hearing before the BOR. I'm sorry, he filed a petition to have the property reappraised value determined to be lower in March of 2013. The Copley Fairlawn Schools filed a counterclaim on May 3rd, and there was a hearing held on August 12th before the Summit County Board of Revision. Mr. Klimczak testified that and submitted into evidence a summary appraisal report which he obtained from the bank, which had current information about the area data, photographs, geographical maps, national trend analysis, descriptions of improvements, architectural drawings, along with other pertinent information.
The appraisal date was for a date 6 months prior to the tax lien date, is
that's
that correct?
True.
And it was also prepared for financing purposes?
That's correct.
And am I correct that the appraiser did not testify before the Board of Revision either?
That's also correct.
But the Board of Revision did agree to reduce the value of the property to the amount opined in the appraisal, correct?
That's partially correct. The appraisal turns out to be approximately what, the Board of Revision's decision is approximately what the appraisal report indicates. Because there's two properties that are vacant that make up this property, apparently the overall value turns out to about the same.
Okay. Did any of Mr. Klimczak's testimony before the Board of Revision go toward support that particular valuation adopted by the Board of Revision?
Yes, Mr. Klimczak did refer to that report in confirming his own testimony as an owner-occupier about some of the geographic area of the building and some of the economic effects on that building. He did use that report. I think, you know, in reviewing the Copley Fairlawn's brief, they indicate that they made an objection to the use of the appraisal report. I did not have handled the hearing before the Board of Revision, but I've reviewed the entire audio transcript, and I never heard an objection to the use of the appraisal report, although they contend they did. So it's our contention that Mr. Klimczak used the report to bolster his testimony and his proof that is required by him. But as an owner-occupier, it was part of the evidence, but it wasn't the sole piece of evidence considered by the Board of Revision. Mr. Klimczak, besides the appraisal report, also gave testimony regarding his bank loan information, his historical real estate tax payment records, the increase in the overall value of his expenditures towards taxes on that property over a period of time. He testified as to the expenses, costs, and losses which he had had, and he verified those expenses and losses through the submission of evidence of his federal tax information for his IRS Form 8825 for the years 2011 and 2012. Copley Fairlawn Schools had the opportunity to cross-examine Mr. Klimczak and presented its own evidence at that time. They chose just to cross-examine Mr. Klimczak. They did not object to the admission of the report, and they presented no evidence on their own. On August 20th of 2014, the Summit County Board of Revision did agree with Mr. Klimczak and decreased the value of that particular parcel to $1,034,000. The Board of Revision found no valuation changes were warranted on the other two vacant parcels. And really, the crux of this case becomes this. The case then is appealed by Copley Fairlawn Schools to the Board of Tax Appeals, and Copley Fairlawn Schools fails to present any evidence at a hearing and waives their right to a hearing before the Board of Tax Appeals. They presented no further pleadings or submitted no discovery and waived their hearing. And on May 9th of 2009, without presenting any evidence, the Board of Tax Appeals then reversed the decision of the Board of Revision. It's the appellant's contention in this case that the Board of Tax Appeals' reversal of that decision is in error for a number of reasons. And one, and the primary reason, is supported in the subpoena case, which is on page 8 of our brief, and where the Ohio State Supreme Court indicates that the party challenging the Board of Revision's decision has the burden of proof to establish that the party's proposed value is the value of the property. And I think what's happened here is the Board of Tax Appeals has made a determination that it is the property owner's burden of proof again before the Board of Tax Appeals, when in essence it's not. It's the Board of Education's.
Couldn't the Board of Education have met that burden by showing that none of the evidence before the BOR was competent evidence of value?
Well, I think what Copley Fairlawn is saying is that the appraisal report is not appropriate for sole consideration of a devaluation in property. And we would concede that that's probably true, with the two exceptions. One, in this particular case, Ted Klimczak and Team Reynolds is an owner-occupier. And so his testimony and the evidence that he submitted of his own leasing abilities through the years and the availability of commercial office space and the drop in the value and the increase in expenses of his own building is all probative evidence in addition to the appraised report.
So is it your contention that if the Board of Revision had set aside the appraisal report, it could have arrived at the same valuation just looking at the owner's testimony?
Because he is an owner-occupier, absolutely. Yes, that's probative evidence that they can make a determination based on value, based on Mr. Klimczak and Team Reynolds' position. In looking at the subpoena case, the court says that the Board of the issue is, was the Board of Tax Appeals' decision unreasonable and lawful? And in this case, Copley Fairlawn and the Board of Education decided to present no evidence. And so without witnesses and waiving a hearing and no other further relief, it's our contention that there's a complete failure of proof by the appellant before the Board of Tax Appeals and therefore no ability to reverse the decision. They've basically put the burden back on the appellee to, I guess, present additional evidence in this valuation, and that really is against what the case law says. In the Cabot decision, the court states that to prevail on appeal, the appellant, this is before the Board of Tax Appeals, and in this case, the Copley-Fairlawn Board of Education must, and they use must language, you know, in reviewing these cases and making this determination, the court's not saying they may present evidence, it's saying they must present evidence. And they have to present competent and probative probative evidence supporting the value of the appellant, what the appellant asserts, and that just is a complete failure of proof before the Board of Tax Appeals. In that case, the error for the Board of Tax Appeals is that they basically reversed the decision simply because they made a statement in their decision and finding that the appraised report was not appropriate for evidence, but there's two problems with that. One, it was not objected to before the Board of Revisions, and two, there's not really an indication for the Board of Revision as to the weight they gave to that report, although as the court's already kind of questioned, is they used that valuation in that report in order to make the new appraised value.
Mr. Skidmore, one thing about the objection point. In my review of the record, and I'm happy to stand corrected, there may not have been a formal objection to the appraisal on hearsay grounds or to its admission, but I believe it was raised, the issues about the as-is date in the appraisal or as-of date in the appraisal and the fact that it had been prepared for financing purposes. So there were arguments presented to the BOR about difficulties with this appraisal, correct?
And I will concede the fact that they did make that argument before the Board of Revision, okay, but they just didn't make an objection to the appraisal. So, you know, the Board of Revision is then free to consider the appraised report and the testimony of Mr. Klimczak and the other evidence that he submitted in making their determination. The Board of Revision doesn't state in their finding that it's solely based on the appraised report that they made the determination of value. And it's our contention that the evidence that was presented to them was substantive enough for them to make a determination evaluation. And then really on the appeal, it's really the Board of Education's responsibility to come in and prove that the evaluation is incorrect, and they simply failed to meet the burden of proof before the Board of Tax Appeals. Okay, with that, we would ask that the case be reversed and the Summit County Board of Revision's valuation be reinstated.
Thank you. Ms. Kalail.
Thank you. May it please the court. My name is Carrie Kalail. I'm here on behalf of the Appley Copley Fairlawn Board of Education. I want to begin by indicating that the review of the statutory transcript will, in fact, reveal that the County Board of Revision relied entirely on the appraisal report submitted by the owner. And that is one of the problems in this particular case, and it's already been addressed, but the appraisal was not done for tax lien purposes. There was no appraiser there at present at the hearing. The appraisal was done for refinancing, and while I concede, perhaps I didn't say I object on the basis of the report being hearsay, I certainly questioned all of the issues with the reliability of the appraisal report before the Board of Revision. There has been extensive case law rendered by this court and repeatedly held that an unauthenticated appraisal report completed for refinancing purposes with an effective date other than the tax lien date is an invalid indicator of the fair market value of a property for ad valorem tax purposes. So the BTA in this case did its job. It reviewed the evidence before it. It found no basis to support the property owner's reduction. It looked at the Board of Revisions decision and found it to be unsupported by probative evidence and reverted back to the auditor's value, which is exactly the case law in the Vandalia Butler case, and that states when a property is adjusted from which it was originally assessed, the adjustment must be supported by competent probative evidence. When a Board of Revision adjusts value which does not reflect this criteria or the rationale for the value cannot be discerned, it is appropriate to reinstate the property's original value. This court's decision recently in Worthington or North Point, I've heard it referred to two different ways, does not disturb its earlier edict in the Vandalia Butler case that absence of sufficient evidence requires the BTA to reverse a reduction or increase ordered by a Board of Revision. That the court in Worthington, to be sure, if a Board of Revision makes a valuation change that is completely unsupported in the record, the BTA may not affirm or adopt it. There is no indication at the Board of Revision level that any of the evidence or testimony offered by the property owner was taken in consideration. A review of the transcript indicates that the Board of Revision made its decision based entirely on the appraisal report. And even if they did consider the property owner's testimony, which was while the property owner testified, the information that was presented by the owner is thin at best, and there's nothing to corroborate what the owner testified about to establishing the value of the property. So you ask the question whether or not the Board of Revision could have arrived at that same value if it disregarded the appraisal report, and it's our position that there is no way that the Board of Revision could, and there's nothing in the record to corroborate that the owner's testimony to the value that the Board of Revision established.
And I suppose that would be the same basis for your contention that the BTA couldn't have independently determined value using the remaining evidence in the record.
That's right, and I believe that the BTA in its decision said exactly that, that there was there was no way for them to determine value in the record.
So the BTA specifically indicated we looked at the rest of the evidence and we can't determine a value based on that?
In considering the record before us in its entirety, we find the BOR's determinations to reduce the subject's values to be unsupported by competent and probative evidence. Yes, I believe that they did look at the entire record, and I would say that certainly the burden of proof in an appeal is on the individual or appellant that files the appeal with the BTA, but we cannot ignore either unauthenticated appraisal reports, or let's just say that the Board of Revision relied on a HUD sale, which this court has already indicated that those are not valid sales. If a Board of Revision simply made a mistake and relied on an invalid sale, the BTA would be justified in reversing its decision and reverting to the auditor's value. This is no different. So it is our position that the Vandalia Butler case is still good law as almost identical to the situation here. And when a property is adjusted from that which is, was originally assessed, the adjustment must be supported by competent probative evidence. When a board or revision adjusts value which was, does not reflect this criteria or the rationale for the value cannot be discerned, it's appropriate to reinstate the property's original value. And that's really the essence of our position here. Any questions? Thank you. Okay. Thank you. The case will be submitted and the parties will be notified of the court's decision.